Lekutei Sichas Chelek Tezayin Parsha Shmos Sicha Aleph. If in Pasuk Vayakam Melech Chodesh Al Mitzrayim Asher Liyodas Yosef, the Pasuk says, and a new king arose in Mitzrayim that did not know Yosef. Shtotzach Rashi Adver Tavayakam Melech Chodesh. Rashi quotes the words from the Pasuk, and a new king arose. On his Mefarish, and he explains, Rabbi Shmuel, there's a dispute about this between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omar Chodesh Mamish. One says that he was literally a new king. The Chad Omar Shinishchatshu Gzeiresa. One says that he wasn't a new king, but he had a new way of making decrees. He decided to make more decrees against the Jews, and he behaved in a new way, in a new fashion. He had a new attitude. The Makkah from the Pirush Rashi is in Gemara. Rashi's source for this is from the Gemara. And the Gemara is dort Masbidim Hechrech, on the Maile von Yedim von the Zwei Pirushim. The Gemara there explains the opinions, why this one goes with this opinion and why that one goes with that opinion, and what is how is this opinion better and how is that opinion better. And he says it this way, Man the Omer Chodesh Mamish, the one that says that he was literally a new king. Because the pasuk says chadosh, it says anew, so he that indicates that tells us that he was a new king. The one that says that it was a new attitude, the loyksiv ayamaz v'yimlech, because it doesn't say in the pasuk and the old one died and a new one was appointed, as it mostly says whenever there was an old king that died and a new one came to power. And here it doesn't say that, it just says new. So therefore it doesn't mean literally new, it means somebody who had a new attitude. And even though Rashi only explains the simple approach of the pasuk, for deswegen bringt er beide Perushim, still he brings both explanations here, weil der Hechrich von jeder von den zwei is from Pshat, because each one is brings his proof from the simple reading of the psukim. The mitzvah is euch moving for what Rashi is matik from pasuk euch devet aviyakam melech, and that explains why Rashi, even though hagama taishtob nor chadosh, even though Rashi is only explaining the word chadosh, new, whether it's literally new or new attitude, but he still quotes from the pasuk the words vayakam melech, and a king arose. Why does he have to quote those words? For in im vort vayakam b'shtei dehecho fun de tzveiten pirush deloich si vayimlech. Because from the word vayakam and there arose, from there is the proof of the second opinion that it's not that it wasn't literally a new king, but that it was a new attitude, because it says vayakam rather than vayomos vayimloich. And in the word melech, the hechach von eshten pirush, and in the word melech in the pasuk, the hechach von eshten pirush, that brings that sort of points us more in the direction of the first explanation, that it was a new king, not a new attitude, but a new king. Leidach, however, on the other hand, Chodesh, as in Yedin from the Beide Perushim, is Da'a Yisr, and even though each one of the explanations has its reason and why it is, fits more with the Pshudosh HaMikra B'Meile, Oich HaShver HaKait L'Gabdem Tzveitin Pirush, and therefore, because each one has its, the quality which makes it more reasonable, and therefore it presents a question to the other one. So each one has why it's better and why it presents a question for the other one. Izaber vigeret kama pa'omim, the eshte pirush mer korev l'pshudosh l'mikra. Generally, Rashi, when he quotes two pirushim, the first one is always the one that's closer to pshudosh l'mikra, and this one, in this case, too, because, number one, bepashtus is mer mistaber zognas chodosh mein chodosh mamish. In the simple reading of it, when the Torah says the word new, it means new. And not just because the decrees, the way he runs his country, is what defines him as a king. So therefore you could say that when he makes new decrees, when there is a new governance, a new rules of governance, so he's a new king. So, but that is not the simple reading of the pshat, even though it could be explained that way. a second thing. Light and Satan Pirish, according to the second opinion, second explanation is Chatshuk Zeresav Muzman Taichna Shalayada. So if you say that it's not literally new, a new king, but only because he has a new approach to governance. Is so therefore you have to say that he doesn't know Yosef means Osa Atzmiki Lilayada, that he pretended not to know Yosef. The Gemara is Mazur, as the Gemara explains. When Virashi is Domedaik Sushraim Ve'asher Layada, and as Rashi says, he adds a Vav, and who didn't know, means to say, Osa Atzmiki Lilayada, he pretended that he didn't know. But Rashi is Mesav Avav Achibur. Rashi adds a Vav, and who didn't know, if in Loshna Kosa Vasher Layada, Bechtei Tzumad Gizayin, in order to emphasize that the Pirush Osa Atzmiki Lilayada is Behemshuch Tzum Tzveitin Pirush. That say, when do we say that he pretended that he doesn't know? That is only if you say the second explanation, that it wasn't a new king, it was only somebody with a new governing policies. Vashteit b'smichus fardem, which is said right before asher lo yada. Rather, what says right before that is the second pshat, that it wasn't a new king, but it was just a new gzeiris, and therefore he pretended not to know. But if you say that it's literally a new king, so then it's possible that he really didn't know. Mashenkin let neshn pirush, whereas according to the first opinion is eich de taich from ashele yada kipshute, then the word who didn't know Yosef is meant literally. It's a new king; he doesn't know Yosef. In nishdos atzmi, not that he just pretended not to know. So therefore, the words of asher leyada also are taken literally and not just. He pretended not to know. So that makes the first pshat more according to Pshudosh HaMikra, because both Melech Chadosh are literal and Asher LeYada are literal. A third reason, Oich Tishverekait Leitin Eshten Pirush, also the question that was asked according to the first pshat, the Leich Siv Vayimlich, that it doesn't say that Vayomas Vayimlich, that a new king arose, can also be answered. The Torah kumda nish zu the tzeilun the divrei yom from Malchim Yitzrayim. Since the Torah, this isn't trying to relate the history of Mitzrayim, nor so there. If it was the history of Mitzrayim, then it would say this king arose, that king died, and so on, telling us the events in the Egyptian history. But that's not what the Pesuk is trying to say here. Nor blois does vasat hashayches yidin. The Torah is only telling us that which is relevant to the Jewish story. As I have gelitten for the nayish shvere gezeres that they suffered because of the new king. Zainen doch don nish negei the protein for yomis v'yimlach. Therefore, to this story, it's not important that the old one died, the new one took over. All it has to say is that a new king arose. Now the teitzodef the only thing that's important here is what the result was. In regards to b'shaychus to Yidden, in the story of the Jewish people, does vasa melech hat zich oibgestolt kegen Yidden, the fact that a new king arose that was now anti-Jewish, mit nayeg zedus making new decrees against the Jews, vayoka melech hadash, which means a new king arose. That's all that's important. So therefore, the question that the Gemara asks about the first pshat, that it doesn't say v'yamaz v'yimelach, can easily be answered. That it isn't really relevant to this story, because it's not the story of the Egyptians, it's the story of the Jewish people. So we only tell the details which are important to this story. Therefore, the first pshat, that it's literally a new king, is much closer to the Pshut Shel Mikra, for these three reasons. Al Pizeh Voltman Oichi Kent Mevayer Zayin. Based on this, we can also explain the reason was Rashi brengt Arab the name from the Manda Omar, why Rashi quotes the names of Rav and Shmuel. Rav was vigeret shem fil mol, as explained many times already, brengt Rashi Arab the name from Bala Maimer. When does Rashi quote the names of the people that give the opinions? Nor either does far emfet ashverekai bepirushay. It's only if the name gives us some greater insight into the explanation. Was the vector by a Talmud Mamulach, most often it is because if a gifted student hears the pshat, so he has a certain question which can be answered by telling him who said it. In other words, if somebody looks deeply into it, the names add deeper insight. But in the mit is musba, the tam for zeh machlekes, because by giving the names of the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, it explains to us why they disagree on this matter. Ubahaktim. So in order to understand that, we have to first explain as bepashtus dafmin onemen, as in di machlekes and vu the gemara zokt friyish shemes balei amaimer and the noch chad omer v'chulu v'chad omer v'chulu. The way the Gemara, most often when the Gemara gives us a machlokes, a disagreement between two opinions, it tells us who the opinions are. It says Rav said this and Shmuel said this. In this case, as in a number of places in Shas, it just tells us the two people, and then it says one said this way and one said that way, not telling us who said what. However, whenever that happens, is bechlal, as a general rule, we can assume that the Eshta Chad Omar, that was the Gemara Zokfrir, the first one said is the first name that was earlier quoted. So in this case, Rav Shmuel, the first opinion that's going to be stated would be the opinion of Rav, and the second opinion is the opinion of Shmuel, even though the Gemara doesn't specify that Rav said this and Shmuel said this. But that's the assumption. That was the Gemara Zogfrir, and the Zweite was Verde Monch Peter, and the second name is the one second opinion is said by the name that comes second. So therefore, in this case, we would assume that Rav said that it's Chodosh Mamish, and Shmuel said that it's Shinishachuk Zeyreisa, that it wasn't a new king, it was only new governing policies. In Kama Machlekes and the Rav and Shmuel, so based on this, now we can go to see how Rav and Shmuel look at the matter. In Kama Machlekes and the Rav and Shmuel, the Pirush HaKsuvim, in a number of different disputes between Rav and Shmuel in explaining Psukim, was the Gemara brengt, that the Gemara quotes, B'myuchadin of Signum fun Chad Omer v'Chad Omer, especially saying it in this same style, one said this and one said that, without telling us who said what. We see what comes up from examining and studying the different opinions throughout a number of different psukim. What emerges is that each one goes in a certain direction, which can be seen in each one of his opinions. That's called a lishitasa. He goes according to his way of looking at things. The Eshter Rav, the first one, which is Rav Nemt als Ikedem Vort, or the Werter, he focuses on matching the explanation to what the words actually say, the meaning of the word. Hagama Zofizez Nisht Glad the Teichana Inyan, even though by focusing on the word, sometimes the connection to the context is not as easy to understand. The word is explained properly, the context becomes a little more clouded. The Tzveiter, whereas the second one, Shmuel, is Machriya Leitin Teichana Inyan. He looks more to how does this fit into the context. From the Psukim, to the context of the Psukim, Chotcha Zofizeh is Nishglatik the Taich from the Vort, even though that sometimes leaves questions about how to literally translate the word. The word doesn't translate as well as according to Rav as the first opinion, or if it's a number of words. L'dugma, so let's take a few examples. Number one, Oifim Pasuk Vayovei Abaisa Lasis Malachtai, on the Pasuk that says that Yosef came to the house to do his work. It's talking about the story with the wife of Potiphar and how she grabbed his garment and he had to run away, and then they later arrested him and so on. So he came to the house to do his work. V'shteid by Yosef and Zog the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel, this is a machlekes between Rav Shmuel, Chadam Alasis Malachtai Mamish. One says that he came to do his work. He came, literally, that's what it means. The Chadam Alasis Tzrochav Nichnot, the other one says, he came to do, that's a euphemism, that he came to be with her. That's what he wanted to do. He came to be together with her. The Eshta Taich Malachtei Mamish, so according to the first explanation that he came to do his work simply, Leitin Pirishab Shat from Var, that takes the literal meaning of the words. Lasis Malachtei means he came to do his work. Aber von hemshecha inyan, when you look at the context of how the Torah presents it, but the pasuk is not the meisiv, because the pasuk immediately says ve'ein ish me'anshe abayis shom babayis, that nobody else was home at the time. Is mashma as the Torah kum de mit oifklerim was smeit melachtei. Why does the Torah say, when the Torah says right after that there was nobody home at that time, it seems to be alluding to something. It seems to be telling us what was going on here. He came to the house and there was nobody else home. Azam alocha was falang ve'inish, that it, what he came to do required that nobody else should be home. The viber v'chad omer as malachte meint lasis trocha. That's why the second opinion says, Shmuel says, that it doesn't mean that he came to do the work. Otherwise, why is it important that nobody else was home? So therefore, he says that it doesn't mean that he came to do his regular work. He came to be with her, which required that nobody else should be home. But oif anachat, to say it in other words, oib nish volt. If it wasn't that he came to be with her, then why would he come to the house when nobody else was home? Why would he put himself in that situation? Especially that this came after she had already propositioned him a number of times. She spoke to him day after day, lishke vetzlo, that propositioning him is dachmuvan azer is arayin lasis trocham. So therefore, why would he come to the house when nobody else is home, when he knows what that means, what could happen? So therefore, the fact that he came when nobody else was home means that he came in order to be with her, not to do his literal work. So therefore, the simple reading of the word lasis melachtei, says Rav, means to do his work. The context of it seems to be to indicate that he didn't come to do regular work, he came to be with her. And that's why Shmuel, who looks more at the context, says that it was to be with her. So that's one example. A second example, from Pasuk in Megillas Esther, the pasuk in Megillas Esther says, "Mehoide bat Kush, that Achashverosh ruled from Hoidu till Kush." Zog the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Shmuel." So machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel. Chada mehoide b'seif olam v'kush b'seif olam. One says Hoidu is on one side of the world, Kush is at the other end of the world, and therefore he was a king from one end of the world to the other end of the world. That's what Hoidu and Kush is telling us. The Chadom, or the other one, says Hoidu and Kush gabi hadod yahavakayma. Hoidu and Kush are actually next to each other. So what is the chiddush that he was a king from Hoidu to Kush, which is right next to each other? So it's telling us kishem shemolach al Hoidu and Kush, just like he was able to control the countries which are right there. Hoidu and Kush are easily managed because they're right next door to each other. Kach molach mesoif olam atsoifay, but he had the same kind of control on the 127 countries, provinces, which are far from each other, but his power and his might was able to control it just like as if they were next to each other. Kayesa v'davar ata eimer, ki hurei de b'chol eiver anol, nor mitfasach, I'm not sure, ad v'ad aza. As the pasuk says, that he ruled the whole other side of the river from this place to that place. Rav Shmuel, you have the machlekes over there, whether they're next to each other or not. So here too, chad is mefarish madgish dem vort ad kipshutei. One explains the word from Hoidu till Kush in its literal meaning, amerchak in shetach, from here till there, means that there is a space in between them, that there is an area in between them. Is a pshat v'aflov from Mahayda bat Kush from Ein Katzei Olam b'zim Tzveitin Katzei. Therefore, what the pasuk is trying to tell us, that he ruled from one country to the other country, and that there is obviously a space in between them, because from here till there means that there's something in between. So the chiddush is that he was able to rule from one end of the world to the other end of the world, from one edge of his provinces to the other edge of his provinces. And therefore, the chiddush, what it's trying to tell us, is that they're far apart, and he ruled them all. Aber von dem Wort, von dem was steht im Pasuk noch dem Sheva Vesem Emei Medina, but then since the Pasuk says that it was 127 provinces, was das Shem Kol Kolaylum Kulay, which already of course includes already the whole world at the time, 127 provinces meant the entire area there. Darf man sagen, as Mahidavat Kush meint nicht kipirush apashut von ein kotze bis in zweiten. So therefore we have to say that why is the Torah tell the Megillah telling us Mahidavat Kush, since we already know it's telling us momentarily telling us that it's 127 provinces, which means the entire world of the time. So therefore, what does Mahidavat Kush mean? What is the chiddush of the pasuk telling us that he ruled from Mahidavat Kush, since we know that he ruled 127 provinces? So why are you telling us about Hoidu and Kush? Was demult is das kaifel demselben inyan tzveimol, because then you're just repeating the same concept twice. 127 provinces from Hoidu and Kush. So it's not a geography class. It's trying to tell us his might. So what is the chiddush of Hoidu and Kush if we already know it's 127 countries? The far is v'chad omar as the pasukum. Therefore, the other opinion says Shmuel says that the pasuk is coming to emphasize as kishem shemolach ma'idavat al hoydu v'kush, that just like he was able to control hoydu and kush, which are very next to each other, kach molach misayfei l'matsayfei, with the same power and control was he able to rule over all 127 provinces from one end to the other end. Which emphasizes the might and power of his kingdom. A third example, the tzei machlegesim that the Gemara brings frier, father machlegesim nunzav pasuk v'yakum elachadosh, are the two. There are two machlegesim which the Gemara brings, which appear in the Torah earlier than Shmois, which are vahi b'mei Amrafel, and it was in the time of Amrafel. So who is Amrafel? Rav Shmuel. The machlegis between Rav and Shmuel. Chad Omen Nimrod. One says that this was Amrafel, was actually Nimrod. His name was actually Nimrod. V'lamenik Rishmei Amrafel. Why was it called Amrafel here? Sha'omar, because he said v'hipil Avram Avinu b'toich kivshana eish, and he threw Avram Avinu into the burning furnace. So Amrafel means Omar. Hippil, he said, and he actually did cause Abram to be thrown into the burning furnace. The Chadomer, the other one says, Amrafel Shmei. His real name was Amrafel. The Lomanikr Shmei Nimrod. Why then was he called Nimrod earlier? Shehimrid is Koloilam Kulei Olubam Malchusai, because he caused to rebel against Hashem. In his kingdom, he caused the people to rebel against Hashem. Nimrod means to rebel. So basically the machlokes says, was his real name Nimrod and he was called Amrafel for something that he did, or was his real name Amrafel and he was called Nimrod because of something that he did? Leuten pirush ha-poshut von die Werte v'kush yolodes Nimrod. So therefore the same thing. When you look at the words, the pasuk when he was born, it says, Kush fathered Nimrod. Is Nimrod v'deruba deruba from the Neman in the capital and in Torah b'chlal? So in this case would be similar to all other case, most other cases in the Torah, and especially in that capital. Anomen avelchem edaf nizuchin kentam. The father gives the son a name. You don't have to have a reason why he gave him that name. He gave him the name. That's his name. So when he was born, he got this name. That's the simple reading. So now when we come to another pasuk which gives him another name, and we know that we're referring to that same Nimrod, and still the Torah calls him here with another name, a new name, Amrafel. So we have to say, as the Shinei Hashem is Tlibatam Velchiz Merumas in them Gendit Nomes, so you have to say that the reason he was given another name later is because something in that name indicates something that he did, and that's why he was known by this nickname, so to speak. That's why the first one, Rav says, why was his name Amrafel, since we know that his real name, the reading of the psukim is that his real name was Nimrod, so why was he called by a new name, Amrafel? Because he said that that he's going to throw Avram, and he said and he did throw Avram into a furnace. But when you look at the context, when you read the pasuk that Cush fathered Nimrod, is the Torah gleich mamshuch mevayez amirida? The Torah immediately tells us about his rebellion against Hashem. Who is giber ba'aretz? He was the first one to be. He was like a mighty warrior in the land. Who are you giber tzayid lifnei Hashem? And he was a mighty hunter or whatever before Hashem. Al kain ya'amar. That's why they said. That's why it was said. Kinimroid giber tzayid lifnei Hashem. Like Nimrod, who was the ultimate, the mother of all hunters before Hashem. So the question is, they gave him a name, and immediately the Torah tells us about Nimrod. What does it tell us about Nimrod? This whole long explanation about his mighty before Hashem, that he was a mighty hunter before Hashem. As the Arichas HaSipur Kum, so therefore Shmuel says, the reason the Torah talks about Nimrod in that way is to explain, Favasa haste Nimrod. He's explaining to us, why was this baby named Nimrod? Why does he have the name Nimrod? Actually, not a baby. Why is this person named Nimrod? That the explanation of his name Nimrod comes later when they saw what he did, what he was able to do. He was a mighty warrior, and all this was lifnei Hashem. It was all in the face of Hashem, meaning to say that he caused everybody to rebel against Hashem. So the context of how the Torah presents the name Nimrod with an immediate explanation of what his personality was, a person that caused people to rebel against Hashem, that explains why his name was Nimrod. But when it comes to the pasuk that calls him Amrafel, for the Torah is garnish mamshuch mazve vegen em befrat, where the Torah doesn't give anything and say anything more about him. That could be interpreted as an explanation of why he was called Amrafel. The Torah doesn't say anything about that. Is doshemai? That's why it would be more reasonable to say that his actual name was Amrafel. Therefore, the Torah doesn't need to explain why he was called Amrafel. Whereas back when he was called, when it names him as Nimrod, over there the Torah gives a whole explanation that lends to the understanding of what his name Nimrod was. That's why Shmuel says, from the context, it comes out more that his name was actually Amrafel. And he was called Nimrod because he caused the people to rebel against Hashem. And then also the fourth example, Ma'aras HaMachpelah, when it comes to describe the Ma'aras HaMachpelah, which Avram bought to bury Sarah, Rabbi Shmuel. So again, Amachlegis from Rabbi Shmuel, Chadom Shnei Batim Zelif Nimizeh. One says that it was two caves, one inside the other, two rooms, one inside the other, not inside, but one an inner room and an outer room. The Chad Omar Bayezvaliyah, one says that it was a one floor and then a floor above it, that the two caves were one on top of the other, not one in front of the other. Al Gaba Bish, so Bish Lemelamandom is Al Gavzeh, we can understand according to the one the Gemara says. We can understand according to the one that says that one was on top of the other, Haina Machpela, that's why it's called a double cave. One on top of the other, two floors. Elamandom Beis Batim Zelifnim is there, but according to the one that says that it was two rooms, one in front of the other, my Machpela. So then why is it called Machpela? There are many caves which are, that's the nature of caves. You know, it's different rooms and so on. So that's not called a double cave. That's just two different rooms, two different areas in a cave. So why is it called doubled? Shekfula Bezuga is because it was doubled by the pairs, by the couples that were buried there. Of course, Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. So according to the way we understand it, Rav says that it was one room in front of the other, and Shmuel says that it was one floor on top of another, one room on top of another. Over here also they go with their lishitasam, the same opinion that they hold everywhere. What do we look at, the word, or do we look at the context? If you look at the word, the cave that is doubled, ein meire, v'sanhalten zichat tabelkeit, a cave which has in it a double a feature that can be called double, is the pirish kfula bezugais. So the explanation that it, the double feature was that there were two, there were couples, you know, a bunch of couples. In other words, that the graves, the burial sites, were double, two, you know, couples, sets of kvarim. Mer masim be the pirush by his vali al gabav is more fitting than a one room and another room on top of it. Obefratas tzvei meires eino de tzveite gefinnen sich in der erd, especially in the fact that, in the light of the fact that it's common that you have caves one on top of the other. If you look at a mountainside where there are caves, you could have two caves one on top of the other. Is the Eibishte Meire nicht abhängig von der Unterste wie an Aliyah if Abayis? Nobody would say that this is a, it's one floor and another floor, it's just two separate caves, and they're not called a double feature. It's not a double feature about the cave. The Ribbe Chad Omer Shnei Batim Zelifnei Mezeh Shekfula Bezugis, and therefore he says that why is it called Machpelo? What's the double feature? If you look at the word cave that is doubled, it means it's more, it describes more what happened in the cave rather than an unrelated thing, that there was another cave on top of it or below it, which is really doesn't describe a double feature about this cave that we're talking about. So therefore Rav, who looks more at the word, says that it was, the double feature of it was that it were, there were double graves inside the cave. But when you look at the context of the psukim, it's hard to say that in the context, it's difficult to say that what's double about it is because it has many graves in it, double graves in it. Why is it difficult to say from the context? Avram was saying to them, please sell me a place to bury his wife. He asked them, he bowed down to them, and he spoke to them, if you could please grant me this favor. What is he asking for? What is all this pleading about? Likferes Macy. He needs to bury his departed wife. Loshin Yachid, and he talks about his wife. He talks about one person that passed away. Milfana, he wants to bury her, you know, he has to bury her. So Falaichter in the Midim Tsar Godel, and you know, of course he needs a place to bury her, this will ease the pain and so on. He's explaining why he needs to bury Sarah now and he needs a place to bury her. Is vish dimtes as a zoldefar beten beyiten li mahamachpela acht kvarim. So in his request, I need a place to bury Sarah, he's asking for a place which has eight graves. He needs a place that for eight graves. Ma'aras hamachpela, I need the place where he can bury four couples. That's, he's talking about burying his wife. Why is he asking for ma'aras hamachpela? Therefore, in the context, it doesn't flow well that he was asking for a cave in which he could bury multiple couples. That isn't what he was asking for. Therefore, it makes more sense, says Shmuel, that in the context it makes more that it was a cave which the cave had a double feature, which was one room on top of the other. Vav. Based on this, you can explain the same thing, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, in the same way in our pasuk. Because we have to understand. Vavos had the pasuk magdim given, then prat from Vayakom Melachados from Mitzrayim. Why does the pasuk introduce this subject by saying a new king arose in Mitzrayim? And why doesn't the pasuk say right after he says that the Jewish people multiplied and became many? as the Riber, and therefore this led by Yom Malach Mitzrayim Al Ame. Therefore, the king of Mitzrayim said to his people, "Amen Yisrael Rabba Otzim Imenu." They're multiplying way too much. Havanus Chakmila. We have to come up with a scheme to keep control of them. Why does the Torah have to tell us that it was a new king? Not what's the difference who the king was? The Jews multiplied. The Egyptians didn't want to, you know, felt that they had to control them. Is the Bir Bapashta? So the explanation of why the Torah says a new king arose is because the pasuk comes to Bavar Natmir. The pasuk comes to explain something that everybody would wonder about. How is it possible that Paris should make such terrible decrees against the people, the nation of Yosef, the family of Yosef, his people? Or Befrat, especially Bnei Yosef, that it also included the actual family of Yosef, his children. After all that Yosef did for the people of Mitzrayim, for Paray, how does he come along and make such terrible decrees against his people? The Rebbe that sailed the Torah, that's why the Torah tells us, Yosef, there was a new king that didn't recognize Yosef. Therefore, it's not so outlandish that he made such gzeiros. He didn't know Yosef, and therefore he didn't consider all the favors that Yosef did for Mitzrayim. B'shaych as the mid brings Rashi, the shame is Bali and Imer, and so in connection with this, Rashi tells us the names of the two opinions, Rav and Shmuel. But on does get to Hasbara in the Mechilik and Yisrim from Yed and Pirush, because this now we'll understand better why each one says what they say. These again l'shutasim, because they go according to their opinion on this matter, whether we look at the word or we look at the context. Chad Omar l'shitosai is a mefarish divert of Yaakov Melachodesh. The first one, Rav, he goes according to his opinion that we look at the words. By Yaakov Melachodesh, a new king arose, Ashaloya das Yosef, that didn't know Yosef, Kipshutam. He takes it literally. It was actually a new king. He never met Yosef. He didn't know Yosef. As his Oivgishtan Anayim Elavos at Yosef and Nishgi Kent, he never met Yosef, and the Ribba had to gaze given the Alexeres, therefore he made all kinds of terrible decrees. In Klolos Teichem Be'inin Aksuvim is Das Oba Nishvashtanik, but when you look at the context of the Psukim, it leaves questions. Afil Zayindik Anayim Elach, even if we accept that he was a new king, Hatazichi Gevuzveg Maisa Yosef, and he never met Yosef. But certainly he knew the history of Mitzrayim that happened only a few years earlier, a few dozen years earlier. So he certainly knew of what Yosef did, v'sad girata b'gantz Mitzrayim, that he saved the entire country of Mitzrayim, v'sad pasit mit'ein der lefneza, what happened one generation earlier. Without question, he knew about that history. V'frat noch as the gezeira hat er angenommen, hat er angenommen zusammen mit Amitzrayim, especially that he didn't do it on his own. He didn't make this decision on his own. He did it together with the rest of the nation of Mitzrayim. Vayomer al Amoy, as the pasuk says, he said to his people, "Havanus machakmalay, let us come up with a scheme to control them." Was zwischen sie haben sich sicher gefunden als solche, was sie seine gewähren bei Meister Yosef. Amongst all those people, there were certainly people that who actually had been there in the time of Yosef, and who were actually, they themselves were saved from hunger through Yosef. Therefore, in any case, you have to say, according to this opinion, Taichin, we have to say that as lo yoda meint osa atzmiki lo yoda. So even if he didn't actually meet Yosef, but he knew of Yosef, so therefore we have to say, when the pasuk says he didn't know, it means he pretended not to know, because of course he knew about Yosef. So the context doesn't allow us to say that it means that he never knew Yosef. He did know Yosef, he just pretended. The Ribber is Chadomer, therefore the other one says, Shmuel says, as the pasuk is Nish Blois Ke'ein Maimer Amuzger, therefore we have to say that the pasuk who didn't, that he didn't know Yosef, is not just sort of a parenthesis. Vidasiz l'shitas chadomer, as the Rav says, as the pasuk for emphat v'yazay Yosef and he ken gozes and exedus. It's only there to explain an aside of how Pari was able to make such exedus when Yosef just literally last generation saved the entire country. So the Torah tells us in parentheses that he never knew Yosef, he never recognized Yosef. But Shmuel says no, the pasuk is the mit ois narois to bring in the greiser rishus from Pari, that the reason that the Torah says the words and he didn't know Yosef is not just an aside to explain a side question, but it is to bring out the great how evil he truly was. Which is the context of the other psukim, the following psukim. It comes to explain, not an aside about Pare, but that he was deeply evil. Was the Torah hyped on the tzel? The Torah now begins to tell the story of how they enslaved the Jewish people. Is That's why he's saying that no, it wasn't a new king. It was actually the same king. He pretended not to know. That brings out how deeply evil he was. He didn't even have an excuse to say that he doesn't know Yosef. He knew Yosef. He personally knew Yosef. It's the very same king. He pretended not to know him. In dem is the from because this brings out the depth of the depravity and the immorality of Paray, Chotchas Lefize is Nishglat Pirush Hamilus from Melachodesh. Even though the context, it fits better into the context of the Psukim. The reason the Torah says Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef and Melachodesh is to tell us that he was a very, very evil person that even pretended not to know Yosef, who just saved the entire country. But the word, of course, is not as smooth, because Melech Chodesh normally would mean a new king. Here it means that it was only Shenischat Shugzei Reisa, that he had a new way of governing the people, the country. Based on this, we can explain another Machlegis that Rashi quotes in the name of Rav and Shmuel. Even though Rashi attributes the opinions to Rav and Shmuel, even though in the Gemara and the Medrash it's two different sages that are quoted for those two opinions, but Rashi goes with the opinion that it was Rav and Shmuel. And what is that? If in Pasuk Vayita Eshel Bever Shava, the pasuk that says that Avraham Avinu planted an eshel in Be'er Shava, is Rashi mefarish demvort eshel? So Rashi comes to explain what is an eshel exactly. Rav Shmuel argue about this. Chadom epardes. One says, meaning Rav says, that it was an orchard that he planted. Lahavi mimenu peiros la'orchem besuda. He planted an orchard so that he would have fruit to serve the guests that he was entertaining. The Chadom, the other one says Punduk, that Eshel doesn't mean an orchard, it means a hotel, like a hotel. Lachsanya, a place for where people could sleep over. Uboy Kominu Meichel, and there was all kinds of food that was offered in this hotel. Umatzinu Loshenati Baholim, and Rashi explains that the word Vayita, which means planted, so he says we're talking about a building here, a tent. So he says, yeah, we find the usage of the word pitching a tent as vayita, that he pitched his tent. Vayita can also mean he pitched his tent. So therefore, we can explain the same lishitosi. Mitzat pirush ha'pasha from the verta vayita eshel. When you look at the words, he planted an eshel. Dafman lernen. It would flow more smoothly to say as dos is given a pardes from peiros. That he planted. Planted means he planted an orchard. Und das ist Shittes Chadomer, and that goes according to Rav. Abav Chadomer, but the other one says, meaning Shmuel, Geitle Shittasi, he goes according to his view of things. As mitzad teichen the mashmoes hakasuk, that when we look at the context of the pasuk, Vayita Eshel beveir shava v'ikra v'shem Hashem keil oylam, he planted an Eshel in Be'er Shava, and he called out the name of Hashem as the God of the world. be Rashi Taich, and Rashi explains that what is the connection between planting an Eshel and calling out the name of Hashem? Al Yod Aidei Oise Eshel Nikrish Meshel Gosh Baruch Hu. It was through this Eshel that he was able to publicize the name of Hashem, because he used to serve them food, and when they then he told them to bench to thank Hashem, and if they didn't want to, he overcharged them very very high prices, and so on. That's how he got the word out. So when you look at that context, is mer mistaber to learn in ados retzich nishvegen boimer from peiris that we're not talking about? It makes more sense to say we're not talking about trees and fruits, nor vegen apundik lachsani, but rather a place where people could come to sleep and come to eat, a hotel. Was dort is men eingestanden am Messers man, a place where people stayed mit kolmin a meichel, where he served all kinds of food. Was is masim zum eider sein der eben mishab und zu bench in the mevishen, and that makes more sense how you can get people to thank Hashem for all of the favors and all the good things that they received free of charge from Avraham Avinu. I've called a tayvus alola for all these good things. But according to this explanation, the word vayita, which usually means planted, so the word planted doesn't work so well with a hotel. Rashi has to bring proof, as is past oichav oil, that the word vayita can also mean he pitched a tent. That it doesn't mean planted a tree, but he pitched a tent. That we also find the use of the word netiyah in regards to tents, and therefore, even though it's not the most simple explanation of the word vayita, but it also works. So the words don't work so well, but the context works better. Ches atkan, everything that we said till now, benegates the Gemara, medish, b'lishutas of Rav Shmuel. This is all opinions that we find in the Gemara and in Medrash in regards to Rav Shmuel. Rashi doesn't quote them all. These are not all from Rashi. However, Rashi in his commentary on the Torah is shver to zogna, thus is der tam was Rashi bring dot the name for Rav Shmuel. It's difficult to say that the reason that Rashi quotes the names Rav and Shmuel is in order to point us to those lishitoses. Why? Because if that's what Rashi's trying to do, just simply tell us, explain to us why they argue about the points, so then he should have quoted their names in every one of his explanations where he follows the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. However, what we actually find is not in tail ertemah now bring Rashi Rav Shmuel chadomah v'chadomah. It's only in a few places that Rashi tells us that it was Rav and Shmuel. Where are they? In pasuk vayavi abaisa lasis malachta, he tells it us about Yosef when he came home to do his work. On beparsha seinu, when in our parsha, mashenkin in andere erte bring Rashi, but in other places, what does Rashi say? Number one, in parsha noyach ba nimrudin, if in pasuk li is giber. In Parsha Noach, where it talks about Nimrod and that he was a power, a mighty man, whereas Mefarish Lahamnit says Kol Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi tells us that he was there to cause everyone to rebel against Hashem. But the Chiddush, the Loi Kipshut Shel Mikra B'Kamim Kaimis, is Vos Gvura Drik Tzichois, that Rashi is telling us something new, that the word Gibor here doesn't mean what it normally means in the simple reading of the word Gibber, a mighty person like a warrior or something. That doesn't mean that here. As Gibber da, rather what Gibber over here means, Lahamrid, that he means to, that he was there to cause people to rebel. Is Mekaire, where is the source of that? From the nomen, that is the source of the name Nimrod. That's why he was called Nimrod, because that's what the title means when it says that he was a mighty person, that he was somebody that caused everyone to rebel. And that's why he's called Nimrod. On in Parsha Lech Lecha by Amraphel, then when it comes to where it says Amraphel in Parsha Lech Lecha, Zakter Hu Nimrod, there he says, Rashi says, this is the same Nimrod, Sh'amal Avram, and he explains why was it called Amraphel, because he said about Avram that he should throw him into the Lech Kibshon Eish, to the fiery furnace. Is Mashma, so from this it seems, as Nimrod Shmoy. From this it seems that Rashi goes with the opinion that Nimrod was his name, and that Amraphel was, there's a reason why he was called Amraphel. Und dann der Mann ist dabei, ja, das ist gesagt Rav und das Shmuel. So in Parsha Noach, he explains it according to Rav. Over there he says that his name, that, sorry, the opposite, Shmuel. Because he gives a reason why Nimrod was called Nimrod. So in other words, that according to what he says in Noach, his real name was Amraphel, and Nimrod needs an explanation. And when it comes to Lech Lecha, he gives a reason why he was called Amraphel. In other words, that his name was actually Nimrod. So he's saying two opposite Pirushim in each place. One he says Shmuel's, and then he says Rav's. And he doesn't say that this is according to Rav and this is according to Shmuel. He just simply states it. Number two, if the Pasuk Ma'aras HaMachpelah bring the Bay the day is Biyachad, and when he explains Ma'aras HaMachpelah, why it was called a double cave, he explains both explanations as one explanation. Bayez Vali Al Gabav. He says them not as two different opinions, but he just says, I mean, two different explanations, but he doesn't tell us who they were. He gives both pshatim, it was one on top of the other, or that it was a double couples, and so on. He doesn't say that it was Rav and Shmuel. So again, if he was trying to explain, if Rashi's intent of giving the names was to explain the Lishitasai, so then why doesn't he say here in these two cases and also in the third case? Azoyech bepirusha if Megillas Esther, in his explanation of Megillas Esther, Taicher im Shute Shomikra Vivachad Omar, in the simple, he teaches like the second opinion, that Haidu and Kush were next to each other and they was able to rule over 127 provinces just as easily as he ruled over the two next to each other. And bring clownish the day of Chadomer. He doesn't bring the other opinion at all. The opinion that they were at two ends of the world. And he also doesn't say who says that they were next to each other. That it was Shmuel. Musman zogn. So therefore, we have to say, as in the Eretz where Rashi brings yet the name of Rav and Shmuel, that in the places where Rashi does bring their names, is das nishvichtei zu mazbe sein, as again l'shitasei manal, is not merely to explain that they go according to this l'shitasei that we explained till now, nor as das l'shitasei hashayachas nor in the erter, but rather that there is something about these places where Rashi does give us the names, that is something unique about those two places, those few places. Or to answer some sort of a question from a gifted student in those places. So therefore, we have to give a new explanation of why Rashi tells us in a select few places that it's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. So the bir benidin didan, the explanation in our case, in our parsha. V'yokum elochadosh v'pashtus kum tarizbering and adesibif v'nehovenach tzchak maloi is the rishus from Melech Mitzrayim ba'amay. The Torah over here is telling us by the new king is coming to tell us that the reason why they schemed against the Jews, it was because they were deeply evil, because the king and his people were deeply evil. And even according to the one that says that he was actually a new king, you still can't say that he never heard of Yosef and he had no knowledge of what Yosef did for the country. Of course, it doesn't mean that he never heard of Yosef and he never didn't know what he did. That he saved the entire Mitzrayim. So therefore, it still brings out that he was an evil person that ignored all the good that Yosef had done for the country. And what he seemed to be scared of, what he was telling his people, that the Jewish people are multiplying and they'll go to war against us and so on. Even a child understands that there is no real, that wasn't a real reason why they had to control the Jewish people. Varam says in Teva b'nei Adam, because it's the nature of people, as far as Teva, Tzolt Menishtab, Mitkein Ra. Because when people come to a country and the country, the host country, treats them nicely, so they're not going to go and do something bad to them. We mentioned Friege learned by Avram by Melech that we already learned earlier by Avram and Avimelech Aslib dem Tevus Avimelech and Yutans Avram. That for this favor that Avimelech did for Avram, Zogin de Kine Arzil of Anecha, that he said to Avram, here you can settle anywhere you want. Any place in my place, you can settle here. So just for saying that, had Avram Gishverin, Avram swore to him and made a pact with him, as a Vetan Chesed Vetoiv, that he will do only nice things and kindness to Avimelech's people, Nishnor to Avimelech and Alei, not only for Avimelech and his generation, nor Eich Leninu Lenechti, but also to my children and my grandchildren and so on, Ba'ama Oretz, and he will do it for all the people. In other words, that when you do something nice for the Jewish people, Avram Avinu, for generations will be thankful to you. So all of a sudden Pari is worried that the Jewish people are going to rise up and go to war against them after all the nice things that Pari did for them. So in the same as in our case, since the Jewish people knew of all the nice things that Pari had done previously for Yosef and his family, Pari, I thought he was going to be Yosef from Beis HaSoyer. First he took him out of prison, and he appointed him the second the viceroy, and he appointed him in such a way that without Yosef nobody makes a move. According to Pari's instructions, he allowed the Jews to settle in the best area, the best neighborhood of Mitzrayim, in the land of Goshen. Is poshut as Melech Mitzrayim and Amay ham farshtanen. So therefore, it's obvious that the king and his people understood as the Eden that the Jewish people afila derish better, even the next generation vel the farnished optzol mitara would not do something bad for the people of Egypt after they had showed them such kindness. V'meil is klar azayin chashash from unmeir from peren yirba. Therefore, it's clear that what he was saying, that they're multiplying and they'll go to war against us, is given an oisreid on the sibah hagzeira is given mitzad rishus. That was only an excuse, and the real reason why they enslaved the Jewish people was out of their evil intent. They were pashut, they were just evil people, and they needed an excuse. So they had an excuse. They're going to go to war against us, but that they understood themselves that that was not true, which is the case since most anti-Semitism. Not in Denver, the Shaila, but then the question comes, in Vosses Bashtana the Iker Rishus from Pari. The question that we're dealing with over here, both Rav and Shmuel understand the Psukim as expressing the evil intent of Pari. The question only is, where is the main point of the evil intent expressed in the Pasuk? Simon Adam Lomakim, Lagabad Mabishan, is it about Pari's attitude between him and Hashem? Oda Biike ben Adam Lochabede, or was his sin that he treated people terribly? Was his great sin that he rebelled against Hashem? Or was the great sin that he was mean to people? Lagabayid. Und das wird mir vor beremes durch dem, was Rashi ist mit dir, die zwei Dinge seinen Rabbi Shmuel. And this is what Rashi is trying to allude to by telling us that the machloik is between Rabbi and Shmuel. It's to tell us this difference is the main thrust of Pare's evil, that he was evil against Hashem or that he was evil against people. What is the meaning? The Gemara sagt, the Gemara tells us that Hilchas HaKerabbi Surah the halacha follows Rav in matters of ritual law. Ritual law means like kashrus and other things like that. O Shmuel, and the halacha is like Shmuel bedina in b'mamayna in commerce, commercial law between people, business, damages, and so on. So the Rishonim, the Rosh, explains the reason why the halacha is like Rav in ritual Isura and like Shmuel in Mamayna. He explains like this: Hagam azoich Rav had gepaskin din inyanim mamonis. Even though without question Rav also paskin the halachas in matters of commerce. When oich Shmuel had zechayse given be iser behet, and Shmuel also learned and studied and paskin in matters of ritual law also. is of a Shmuel hayad rogel tamid lifsig dinim. But the reason is that Shmuel was accustomed to, that was his main interest, that was his main focus in learning, was in inyanim mamonis. That's why he was more particular about them, and he was able to see deeply into the matter, and he was able to get to the truth, to the core of the truth of matters in inyanim mamonis, because that's where his focus was. Whereas Rav, he was accustomed more to learning and paskening in matters of ritual law. That's why they relied on his psokim, his paskening in regards to Issa Veheter. Thus haste, in other words, as Rav, Hotzach Be'ika Issa Given in the Far Mer Medakti Given Be Issa Veheter. That Rav was more, you know, he was more medactic, he knew more of Issa Veheter, and by Shmuel is the Ike given in Yonah from Dinamamas, whereas by Shmuel it was more his focus and his deep understanding was more in matters of monetary law. The chilek tishni sura und Dinamamas is what is the difference between Isur and Heter, which means ritual law and monetary law. Issa veheter is anyu from ben adam lamakim. All ritual law is between a person and Hashem. Nobody else cares whether somebody eats kosher or not. It doesn't affect anybody else, or whether one somebody keeps Shabbos or not. It's purely between a yid and Hashem. It doesn't affect anyone else. It doesn't impact anyone else. Of course, everybody cares, but it doesn't impact anyone else. Whereas dinim mamonis nemen arum beikedin yonah from another mechaveira, monetary law is between people. Did he steal something? Does he owe him something? Did he cause damage? And so on. Those are all between people. So in other words, Rav's focus was more on issues which are between Yid and Hashem, and Shmuel's focus was more on issues which are between people. Und der Rebbe, wenn es redet sich wegen an Inje, was ken hab ma scheiche sei zu ben Adon Lamakon und sei ben Adon Lachadei, right? So therefore, when there is a matter, there are some issues which have both sides to them. There are elements of both of these things in certain things. Hat Rav neute gewen oise teitschen wie das ist mit Zadis Sura, ben Adon Lamakon. So therefore, he naturally leaned in the direction of ben Adon Lamakon. How it affects in his interest, which was Isser, Ben Adam Lamakim. And Shmuel, Vidas is Mitzad Mamayna, Ben Adam Lachaveira, whereas Shmuel, his leaning in a matter which had both sides to it was that it was more an issue of Dinim Mamanus or Ben Adam Lachaveira. Well, Medidin Didan, so in our case, Leiten Pirish as Melech Chodesh Nish Chodesh Mamish, according to the explanation that a new king doesn't mean literally new. Not as given the Zelba Melech, but it was really the same king. On the Rishus Ben Adam Lamakim Nishtazoi Grois. So if it's the same king, so then his Rishus, his evil intent between him and Hashem is not as big as his evil intent against people. Why? Because he has an excuse that he can at least tell Hashem about why he changed his attitude. Since Yaakov Avinu, the leader of the Jewish people, the father of the Jewish people, showed him deference as a king. When he arrived, he bowed down or whatever, he blessed him. When he left, he did the same thing. He showed him honor as the king. So he treated him like a king, and his attitude, Yaakov's attitude to Pari was as the king, which means that he accepted his dominance, the fact that Pari is the rightful king, and therefore he has the right by heavenly decree, even at least in his opinion, he has the right to run his country the way he sees fit. Yaakov Avinu agrees that I'm the king. He accepted my role as the king. So therefore, I have the right to run my country the way I see fit. So therefore, his his excuse to Hashem could have been, at least in his mind, mitigated. His evilness is mitigated. But when we talk about his attitude and his relationship with people, in connection with the Yidden in general, and especially the children of Yosef, this kind of excuse, I have the right to do what I want, doesn't explain why you can mistreat people. Since this is the very same person who Yosef saved his life and the rest of the country too, and he did so much kindness with him, so how could you do something so terrible to his people, to his children? And therefore the evilness that is expressed by these kinds of Xeris is much worse. It brings out his evil nature much more than if we look at his relationship with Hashem on the matter. Because over there he has, at least in his mind, some sort of an excuse. But how do you mistreat people that treated you nicely? So between people, there's no excuse for that. And therefore it brings out his evil side much more if he is the same king. If we interpret it as he was a new king, actually a new king, was nisht em hot Yaakov is given covered malchus. So he doesn't have the excuse that Yaakov accepted him as the king, because it wasn't him; it was his father or whoever. So he never had the stamp of approval from Yaakov. And it wasn't his kingship that the Jewish people accepted when they immigrated to Mitzrayim, and they accepted him as the king. The only thing that he has is that he became the king while the Jews were still living there. But they never arrived to in his country accepting his role as the king. Therefore he doesn't even have an excuse to Hashem to say that they accepted me, so they accepted my rulership, Yaakov accepted my rulership. He doesn't have that excuse. They never accepted him, so he has no right, doesn't have that kind of excuse to say he has a right to make all kinds of terrible gzeiros. But when we look at his relationship between him and the people themselves, is the rishus nishta zaygreis, the evil intent is not expressed so terribly if he really is a new king. Since he never received any favors from Yosef, he wasn't even around then, so therefore as expressing his evil attitude to the people, it's less evil because he never knew them, he never received these favors, and therefore it expresses less of a rishus between him and the people. Lefiza is moving, so based on this we can understand as we bow the Torah is madish the rishus from Pare, since the Torah is trying to emphasize how evil Pare was. Is Rav, therefore Rav of Svetzadin Yonik and Al Taichter, the rishus of Menelum Lamokim, Rav, whose focus is to express the evilness between him and Hashem, as his focus was always. Davdalena Chodesh Mamash, he has to say that this was literally a new king. And therefore, it expresses his evil intent towards Hashem even more, because he had no right to make exodus because they never accepted him as the king. Shmuel Abavasikar Asagav is given in the Dinamamanis, where most of his interest and involvement was in Dinamamanis Ben Adam L'Chaveri. In other words, he looks at things as how does it relate to between people, relationships between people. Lenata Das is given the Zelba Melech, therefore he says that it was actually the same king. Non is Chachuk Zedai, so he just had a new attitude in how he ruled. That brings out a greater riches to the people who had just done him favors only a short time ago. Al pia now vet zayn verstandig was Rashi bringt der ob die name von Rabbi Shmuel euchen die friedige zwei machlegesen. So this explains also where Rashi quotes the names Rabbi Shmuel in the earlier two machlegesen that he brings. In parsha vayeshev is kavanos a kosav reitz bringing it sitkas Yosef. in Vayeshev, where it talks about Yosef came home to do his work. So over there, he's trying to bring out how righteous and what kind of a tzaddik Yosef was. Hein fardem pasuk vayavi abaisa. Both in the psukim that become before the pasuk in question, which is that he came home to do his work. In Hemshach HaSipur, as the story is told there, it says over there, Vayifkedeu abaisai v'chola yeshlei nosem biyodeh, that Potiphar appointed him over his house, and whatever he had, he put into his control. Vayazav kol sholei biyad Yosef, and he left everything that he owned in the administration of Yosef, and he never looked over his shoulder. Vatisa eshes avdeinov, and then the master's wife took a liking to Yosef, but Yosef said no. He said, how could I do? How could I do something so terrible? Even though she kept repeating it and propositioning him again and again, day after day, he never listened to her. So there, of course, the Torah is trying to talk about the greatness of Yosef. When he knocked them, and so also after this pasuk, when the Torah detailed the Yosef etzcharuz giris and antlofen feneshet betifar, where the Torah describes how Yosef had to tear himself away and left his garment and ran away from the wife of Potiphar, is in them dod machlekes and pshat. So therefore, we have a machlekes in the explanation of ayavi abaisa lasas malachtei. What exactly does the Torah mean by these words that he came to the house to do his work? Sisis gvem malachtei mamish, whether he came to do his work, or the lasas trachavim, or he came to be with her. So we can see it in the same context. Loit Rav, according to Rabbi Balda, zikir inyan is tomatik zayin. Since his interest and his focus is always to emphasize how something relates to the relationship between a person and Hashem, therefore it would make more sense to say that when he says he came to do his work, it means literally he came to do his work and not that he came to be with her. Although Lasis Tracha fits more with the fact that the Torah says that there was nobody else home, as we said before. But Rav says no, it means Malachtei Mamesh, Varam Damul Voltes Gemeint, and Isak Labishmai, because then it emphasizes a greater sin against Hashem. Because if you say that he came to be with her, that would be saying a terrible thing about Yosef, that he came actually to commit a sin. So he says no, his relationship with Hashem was fine. He came to do his work, and he had no bad intentions. Loit Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, v'zayin inyan is be'ikas amadgu zayin dem tzad mamayda. His focus is on how does Yosef fit into this whole thing with his relationship between him and his boss, so to speak. Potiphar is a boss; he works for Potiphar. Be'nodon chaveri is yumtak. That makes it more understandable. V'svayav elaset tzrochav ima. That dafke ven ein ishman shebayis shom babayis. Why the Torah makes a thing about that there was nobody else home? What he's trying to say is, varim demult hotas nisht ongirid ben adam lachaveres and shibetz betiferes veifkedei ol beisai. What he's trying to say is this: when Yosef came to do what he did, was dafke in a time when nobody else was home. Meaning to say, he was not on the clock. Meaning to, he had already punched out. There was nobody home. There was nothing to do. His job for the day was over. At least he wasn't rebelling against his boss by using his time that he was paying him for in another way. So at least that element wasn't there. And Shmuel says, the Torah is telling us that even when he had something else in mind, but it's not when he's supposed to be working. Ein ish be'an she'abayis. There was nobody else there, meaning to say that his job was over. Because his commitment to Potiphar was that he has to take care of the matters in the home. There's nobody home, there's nothing to do, so he's on his own time. That's why he says that he didn't come to do his work. There was no work to do. What he came was for something else. Going to the next one, Eshel, in regards to the meaning of Eshel, Rav Shmuel Chadomer Pardes Lovim Menu Peres. One says that it was an orchard that he planted to bring fruit for the guests. The Chadam Apunik Lachsani, the other one says that it means a hotel. The Chomin in Meichlin, there was all kinds of food that was present, that was offered. So mitzad bein adam l'chaveiroi, when you look at the matter between people, is pashut as pundik lachsanya v'chol min ha'maychol is agresor ha'toyba ma'ilu v'pardus from blois peiris. Obviously, if you have a hotel and you're offering all kinds of foods, is much better than just having an orchard with the fruit to offer. Le'idach is in the peiris v'yita pardus l'habim many peiris mer mudgish ben adam l'makim. On the other hand, when you say that he planted an orchard, that brings out a greater emphasis on his relationship with Hashem. Varam da is the tzugikum and the ben adam lamakim oich from Avram alein. The mekolshkim from vayyabei kaim epriya aretz mincha l'Hashem. How that brings out a greater gift that Avram Avinu was making to Hashem. And we learn this from Kayin brought a carbon to Hashem that he brought from the fruits of his land. So how much more so if Avraham Avinu planted an entire orchard in honor of Hashem to be able to offer fruit for the guests. So this was meant, it brings out an offering that Avraham Avinu made to Hashem, similar to what is mentioned earlier in the Torah, bringing fruit from the land as an offering to Hashem. Und der Rebbe bringt dort in Rashi den Namen von der Balei HaMemris, and that's why in these few places Rashi quotes the name of Rabbi Shmuel und kleibt das Dafke die Girse Rabbi Shmuel, and that's why he chooses the version that this is a machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel und nicht die Girse Lufaneinu in Gemara Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemia, and not the version that our Gemara has that this is a machlekes between Rabbi Nechemia and Rabbi Yehuda. For in das Kita Hasbar in the time of Yisrael for Yedin for the Berushim, because it explains why each one says what he says. In Rav and Shmuel, we understand that in this new Lishitasei, whether you look at things between Adam Lamakim or between Adam Lachaveire. Yudalit. The Rav and the Pirush Rashi and Biyomeinu Eilat. What is this, the lesson of this Rashi for our day and age? There are such people that say, as Ochaslan Vabes HaMelech, we have a friend in the king's house. Anaya friend or an alter friend, whether it's a new friend or an old friend, therefore, if he makes a decree, God forbid, the Jewish people shouldn't be afraid of it, shouldn't worry about it. And even though this new decree goes against the Torah, we have to follow the law of the land, even though it goes against the Torah. I mizavodim leparay, I from boyim pisim aramses. Although following this new decree makes us into slaves to Paray to build his cities, and shtot suzayin ovdei Hashem, instead of being the servants of Hashem, duch lerne Torah basmada v'shkida, by studying Torah with diligence and makayim zayin mitzvahs behidur, and to fulfill mitzvahs behidur v'chol derech hachadayu, and to serve Hashem in every way, and that's really our job, and by following the new decree which goes against the Torah, we become his slaves rather than Hashem's slaves. Let me doch mitzrayim, but we have to make peace with the fact that we live in Mitzrayim, and we live in a good land. They give us good things in this country. And therefore we have to compromise and we have to give in to some of the things that they ask. So we have to know that doesn't make a difference whether it's a new king or it's an old king, and whether he talks in this with these words, or he talks in other words, nice words or not nice words. If he's the king of Mitzrayim, and what does Mitzrayim in this context mean? Shemitzirim li Yisrael, that his gzeiris, his decrees are oppressive to the Jewish people. Memacht engt und tsoris Yiddishkeit, he causes distress to Yiddishkeit. Is das hahavenes chakmala? You have to know that this is a scheme against us. Fun yetzahara, at least from the yetzahara, and chesed leum and chatos, and whatever kindness they do for us, it's all because of their own agendas and their own interests. Es darf und muss sein der Anhoge from the Miyaldis of Vrias and Golas Mitzrayim, we have to take the lesson from what the midwives, the Jewish midwives, did in Golas Mitzrayim. Heper Gzeiras Pare, they went against the Gzeira of Pare. He said, he said that every boy that is born you have to throw into the river, and every the girls can be allowed to live, thus mate. The filmogeret. This means, as was mentioned many times, that what did he mean to throw all the boys into the river? What he meant was you have to submerge the boys, the Jewish boys, into the river, which was the idol that the Mitzrayim worshipped. Kiyadua, as the Yair is given the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, as is well known that the Nile River was the idol that the Mitzrayim worshipped. So what he means over here, what does it mean in our context? Geldstellers, it's what they're trying to get us interested and involved in is money. You'll have a good job and then make a lot of money on a zeviter, and so on. Biz as Rachman Otslan, zay the trinken in them nit nor them, nish nor them, idishun gub, nor regle idishun shama. And what they're interested is in drowning not only the Jewish body but also the Jewish soul, chas v'sholom, azoy eich the cholabas t'chayin, and also what is meant by all the girls should be allowed to live, v'as dos is given a chelik from the gzeira, that is not taking the girls out of the gzeira, but that was a gzeira against the girls as well. What he meant was you have to give life to the girls, means to say you have to give Egyptian life to the girls, you have to raise them in the spirit of Egyptian girls, Mitzirim li Yisrael, that they also should be oppressive to the Jewish values. So what did the Jewish midwives do, Yecheved and Miriam, what did they do? They stood up against this decree. They did everything that was necessary, as is all geboren werden idische kinder, that it should be Jewish children that are born, and as is all kriegen dem geherken idische chinuk, and that they should get proper Jewish education. And das ist mit afton in derech hateva, and that which we have to do, natural, you have to live by nature too. They have to make an effort and speak to them and so on. It has to be in a similar to the way Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Pare. It's true that he spoke to him with words that were in the proper language that you speak to a king and giving him the honor that he deserves. But at the same time, he held the staff of Hashem in his hand. What that means is that he spoke with Jewish and godly firmness and commitment. Nisht arab found bazich, not to feel down by himself and to feel inferior. Fadim goy, before the goy and apshita nishvon behalten the Yiddishkeit, and certainly not to try to hide that he was Jewish or his Jewishness. Und durch dem was men rechen sich nicht. And by not considering and not giving any importance to the gzeiras that the country might want to impose, which are not in accordance with Jewish values, and we dedicate ourselves completely to holy education from all Yiddish kinder of Jewish children, all Jewish children, through this we raise an army for Hashem, gesunte Iden begashmis uveruchnis gam yochad, healthy Jews, both physically healthy and spiritually healthy. Was does bring the geula? This will bring the geula mitzvah shleima from Klal Yisrael, from the whole Jewish nation. Amen.